In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel today, not only is it beautiful because it's the announcing of Elizabeth to Mary that she knows what is happening. She knows the awesomeness, the mystery of what is happening at the moment, that Christ has become incarnate, that Christ is dwelling in the womb of St. Mary. But more than this, in this gospel, we have an image, we have an example, we have an understanding of how we are supposed to be humble, of what exactly we're supposed to be. So St. Mary comes into the house of Elizabeth, and as she walks in, as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe, so St. John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, leaps. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So she recognized with an authenticity and with a reality that St. Mary had Christ within her. Then listen to her words. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me? So Elizabeth is saying this about herself. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord, so the mother of God, the Theotokos, should come to me? Imagine now that you are St. Mary. This is the greatest challenge of humility. We, you know, do well in the HSC. Oh, look at me. I buy a nice car. Look at me. I have a nice house. Look at me. I'm a hotshot in my career. Look at me. St. Mary is bearing God. St. Mary, out of every human being in the history of humanity, has been chosen to bear God. And now Elizabeth comes to her and says to her, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. I'm unworthy that you should even come into my presence, that the Mother of God should come into my presence." That's the challenge of humility. What will her response be? Will her response be, "I know, like, I was pretty good, you know, I was pretty pure when I was young, so that's why God chose me"? Will it be, "I know, God looked down, he said, who's going to be the prettiest girl, all right, he looked at Mary and he found me"? Will it be, you know, no, I'm unworthy, and she beats her chest? These are the expected options of how St. Mary should act. Where she says, no, you've got it wrong. I'm not the mother of God. No, it's not true. Whereas she knows it's the reality. And they're the challenges that come to us in our own spiritual lives. We do something that glorifies God, and I have one of two options. Either I take the glory to myself, and I said, "Yeah, you're right. I worked hard. I pray hard. Every midnight prayer, I do it myself. I get on my knees. I do my matanyas. I deserve this." Or I have the other response. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm unworthy. It wasn't me. And I beat my chest and I look down and I look miserable. They're the two responses. Yeah, look at St. Mary's response here. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." That word, "my soul magnifies the Lord," it doesn't mean that St. Mary is making the Lord bigger. It doesn't mean that she is making the Lord greater, that she is adding anything to the Lord. What it means is she is magnifying him in herself. She is making God more clear. She is becoming more and more transparent so that God shines through more and more. That's why St. John the Baptist says at one point, "He must increase and I must decrease," about Christ. That everybody was giving the glory to St. John the Baptist because he was giving this mission of a baptism of repentance. But St. John the Baptist says, no, he must increase. Christ must increase. I must decrease. I must disappear. Pope Carolus the VI entered the church at a time of absolute darkness. There was no patriarch for 3 years before him. Okay, and everybody was looking to him for reform. And people were talking, which is what most people don't know, talking and saying, "Who is this monk? This quiet, silent monk, what does he know? What can he possibly say?" Do you know what he said when he got up as soon as he was ordained patriarch? The center of his sermon, the most important thing he said in the sermon? He looked around and said to all of the different competing forces of reform in the church. So you know back then, there was the Magnus and Mealy, the community lay council, that wanted to reform the church. He looked at them. There were the clergy who wanted to hold on their power and the bishops that wanted to hold on their power and didn't want the lay people to do anything. He looked at them. He looked at the servants of the church. He looked at the government ministers who were trying to reform the church from the outside. And he already said to all of them, let us disappear that God's glory may become clear. Let us disappear that God's glory may become clear. He's saying, let us become transparent. Let us be like St. Mary. Let's become transparent. Let's not take on this false idea of humility, which means I beat my chest and deny what I am and lie about it. Let us not take the glory to ourselves. Let's become transparent so that Christ and only Christ shines through us. That is what authentic and genuine humility is. And then St. Mary says something very interesting. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And you look at that and you think that's a bit of a paradox, right? That doesn't make sense. There's two things that are arguing against each other there. She says, God has looked down and regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Maidservant is another way of saying a female slave. He's looked down and seen the lowly state of his female slave. But then at the same time, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Every single generation of humanity will call St. Mary blessed. And she's the one that says this. She's the one that says this. God has regarded my lowly state and he will be the one to lift me up. That is a pattern that Christ himself fulfills. You know, Philippians 2. St. Paul says about Christ this. He says, let us all have this mind which was in Christ, who, although he was God, and because he was God, did not consider that something to be exploited. I didn't go around brandishing it, didn't want to exploit his rights as being God, but emptied himself, humbled himself, became a servant or a slave, even to the point of death for us. And then it says, therefore, God will exalt him. So Christ, although he's God, empties himself of his status. Not of his divinity, of his status. Empties himself of his rights. Empties himself of saying, I am God. You down, bow down to before me. He empties himself and becomes what can only be of the analogy of the universe being reduced to a parasite. Becomes and takes on our flesh, becomes a human, becomes a slave, even to the point of death, therefore God will exalt him. Do you see then that's precisely the same pattern that St. Mary says. God has regarded my lowly state, and therefore all generations will call me blessed. She accepts true humility to become transparent to God, to empty herself of everything that she is, so that she can bear God inside her. So St. Mary here is actually sharing in the incarnation. In Greek, there's a very technical word for that, which St. Paul uses, enkenosen, which means kenosis, to literally empty myself. St. Paul says about Christ, he emptied himself, therefore God exalts him. St. Mary here empties herself of her desires. I want you to imagine that you're a 12-year-old girl, whatever she is. All right, you've just forgiven me, you've just passed through menarche, you've just started to get your period, okay? You've just started to be aware to the world. You've just started to realize that you're almost going to become an adult now. You've just started to have dreams and aspirations. I want to meet this guy, he's going to be a good-looking guy with a nice beard, all right? And I'm going to marry him. He may not have hair in his head, but that's all right, I love him, okay? And we're going to have this huge family, and we're going to build this beautiful house on the water, on Lake Galilee. And then you're 12 years old and someone comes, an angel comes and tells you, listen, you're going to fall pregnant with God. It changes things. It changes things. Not only is all of her dreams and her aspirations totally dashed in that moment, all of her desires dashed in that moment, all of her rights in that moment dashed away. But in that moment, she also takes upon herself shame. She'll be known as a 12-year-old who's pregnant. At that point, she wasn't even married. So she will bear the shame, which today is shameful. Can you imagine then in a Middle Eastern patriarchal society? And she willingly takes that upon herself. She knows she'll be called crazy. And fast forward beyond that, she knows that the son that she will bear who comes to redeem humanity will be crucified on the cross. That her own son will die and be spat upon by people that don't understand him. And she willingly takes this upon herself. Is this then not the greatest moment of kenosis, the greatest moment of self-emptying? That she totally empties herself of all of her desires, all of her dreams, all of her hopes, so that she can bear God, so that she can be exalted. Christ did precisely the same thing, and that is what we are called to do. Unless we empty ourselves of our states, unless we be like John the Baptist and say, he must increase and I must decrease, unless we be like Pope Corollus and say, let us disappear that God's glory may be made manifest, unless we disappear, unless we empty ourselves of our desires so that we become transparent, so that the light of Christ shines through us, so that we can bear him, then we will never know him. So only by me emptying all that I am, my desires, can I be filled with God. Can I be filled with God? And that is what true humility is. True humility is not saying, taking the glory to myself. True humility is not beating my chest, pretending that I didn't do anything. Pretending that I'm smart when I'm dumb, or pretending that I'm dumb when I'm smart, or pretending that, you know, I wasn't me that went and did that Bible study, or pretending that, no, it wasn't me that went through my career and built my house and built my business. That's not humility. Humility is accepting that it is only God that does it through me. Humility is becoming transparent so that only God is made magnified. So that when people look at me, they can hardly tell if it's me or Christ they're looking at. That is what humility is. That is what St. Mary teaches us today. She shares in the self-emptying of God, and so she bears God. Today, the message for all of us is, empty ourselves of our desires, empty ourselves of our rights, empty ourselves of everything that we want, so that we can become transparent and that God may become manifest. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.